Think back to the beginning of this year, and it feels like it wasn't the beginning of this year. But many of us were together in our Beit Midrash on the seventh floor on the seventh floor, 245 Lexington, in the middle of Midtown. I know these words have not been part of our lingo in recent weeks or months. But to think back, there was a program we had called Shema Koleinu, where Rabbi Penner came to our campus, and we had before Slichos. It was this year that we started a Shema Koleinu tefillah experience that was really unparalleled in my mind. I still think back to it as one of my greatest moments of tefillah. The Slichos that took place afterwards were really remarkable. And to think that that was all this year, and the amount of tefillos and the different types of tefillos and the different places of tefillos that we've had tefillah throughout this year have been remarkable and different and in some ways mind-boggling. But what I want to do right now is to jump right back into the hands of and to the Torah of Rabbi Penner, a close Rebbe of mine, an opportunity to really close out in some ways this year of whatever it's been, with bookends from Rabbi Penner, has started us off with Shema Koleinu at the very beginning of the year in Tefillah, and to help us head into the next part of the summer, closing out this six-part series in Tefillah. Rebbe, you've always been an inspiration for all of us in our Tefillah Limudim, and we are so grateful for you to be here tonight. Thank you again for being here. Without further ado, Rabbi Penner.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Bernstein. Thanks for putting together all these series for everybody. I know that the young ladies are very, very appreciative. And that even though we can't be together, it's always more powerful when we're together. At least we're able to be together virtually, and we're able to learn together. It is Erev Shivasa B'Tammuz. It's already technically Shivasa B'Tammuz at this point. And our thoughts turn to the upcoming weeks. And I think that there are two different ways to approach the 3 weeks. One of them is in the line of what we call a Zecher L'Churban. And the second is in line with what we call a Zecher L'Mikdash. Chazal in different places instituted things that we'd remember, we'd have in mind what happened and what we used to have. But they're two very, very different things. Sometimes they create a Zecher L'Churban, something which is a remembrance of the destruction. We have to keep a certain part of our home, a spot in our home that's not painted. Perhaps we don't wear the finest clothing and jewelry. We put ashes on our forehead at a chasana. But there's also something called a Zecher L'Mikdash. A Zecher L'Mikdash is a law that was established so that we'd remember what the Mikdash was. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the mourning that we forget what it is that we're mourning about. What was there? What happened there? What was it about? What was the experience of being in the Beis HaMikdash? So I want to do something tonight that's essentially a tefillah year. But it's there to give a small glimpse into what the Beis HaMikdash was and how the Beis HaMikdash functioned. There's a fascinating idea explained by Rav Hirsch. It's in the Ksavim of Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, in the collected writings of Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, when he discusses the Shmoneh Esrei, that when we say that the Shmona Esrei is in place of a Korban, that when we say that today Tefillah somehow stands in the place of what we used to do in the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't just mean that there are these two ways of serving Hashem. We used to serve Him with a Korban, and today, instead, we daven. Rav Hirsch basically says, give Chazal a little more credit. Give the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which included Nevi'im. Of the 120 elders in the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, they were Nevi'im. Give them a little more credit than just to assume that they swapped out Korban. They swapped out the Korban Tamid. And they put in its place So you'll daven instead. It's a very, very strange thing. The reality is, and now is not the time to discuss it. If you think about it, in theory, those are very different things, right? In tefillah, I ask Hashem for things. In korban, I give something to Hashem. Of all two things, they seem to be exactly the opposite. When I have a korban, I take my stuff and I give it away. When I have a tefillah, I ask Hashem for new stuff. Very, very strange. But Rav Hirsch, and it's a different time to look at the fundamental idea, but Rav Hirsch says that the way that the Shmona Esrei is designed is meant to replace the temple service. Meant to replace the temple service. Not just that it stands in place, right? We know we have the Gemara in Brachos that talks about tefillos keneged tmidin tiknum. Tefillos are keneged, not karbanos. Most people say there's two different days in the Gemara. One says that we have three tefillos because we had three avos. And the other one says that we have three tefillos because we had karbanos. Not karbanos, a particular korban, the korban tamid. A little strange, there wasn't a korban tamid at night, but okay, we completed the korbanos at night, but in the morning they brought a korban on behalf of the whole Klal Yisrael, in the afternoon, at the end of everything else, they brought a korban on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. Our tefillos today are instead of, in place of, somehow corresponding to that idea. Now, by the way, Rav Hirsch himself says it's not exactly true that one left and the other came in its place. The Anshei Knesset HaGadola lived at the beginning of the Second Temple period. There was Korbanos at that time. But they patterned, when they made the Tefillah, when they made the Shmona Esrei, they patterned it in such a way as to correspond to the Korbanos. And today, after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash, when we no longer have Korbanos, we have only the Tefillos. But I'm getting way, way ahead of myself. Because it's really a Tefillah year. And we'll get back to Korban in a little bit. Okay, with your permission, I'm going to share a screen here. We're going to look at... Let's look at it a little smaller. Okay, here we go. Seems to work. Anybody want to give a thumbs up or thumbs down? Looks good? Okay, excellent. Excellent. Darash Reb Simlai. Reb Simlai made the following Durasha. La'olam yisader adam shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should be misader. He should organize his praises or her praises of Hashem. Ve'achar kach yitpalel. And then he should or she should daven. Very interesting. We're all familiar with the idea that you see in the next piece in the Rambam. What is the biblical mitzvah of tefillah? What are the components? How did they design the Shmona Esrei? Chiyav mitzvah zu kachu. This is the way you do the mitzvah. Shiyehe adam mischanenu mispalu b'chol yom. You're supposed to pray every single day. And what's the order? Umagid shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You start by praising God. Ve'achar kach shoel tzrachav shehu tzarich lehem bevakasha ubitchina. And then you ask him for everything you need. Ve'achar kach nosein shevach vehodaya l'Hashem. And then you thank him. We all are familiar with the fact that the Shmona Esrei is divided essentially into three parts. The first part, we praise Hashem. The last part, we thank Hashem. And in the middle, we ask for things. Now, if I would ask you, which is the most important part of the Amidah? Which is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the most, so to speak? It's hard to do it on Zoom. Hard to take feedback, but I'm going to have to in a minute. But this part I'll throw in there. Sometimes we think that if we praise and we thank Hashem enough, then we get to ask. if we praise and thank Hashem enough, that's the way it would be with a human being. You flatter them a little bit. You make sure to say thank you so much. And then if you do that, then you get to ask, right? You probably received, as I do every single night at 7 o'clock, between 7 and 9, phone calls that say, hi, I'm calling from blank. Oh, you're such an important donor. You're such a wonderful person. Thank you so much for your previous gifts. Can you give again? And I say, I didn't give you last year, but I'll think about it. Fine. We all know that there's a give and take. If you praise people and thank people, if you're nice to them, then you can ask them for stuff. That's not the way it works with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at source number one again. La'olam yasadir adam shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to praise him. Ve'achar kach, what? Yitpalel. Tefillah is synonymous with the middle section. And Rabbi Soloveitchik says this explicitly, that the most important part of the Shmoneh Esrei is the point where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants us like a parent, like a best friend. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to involve him. The praise and the thanks, we have to do that, because otherwise it wouldn't be right not to praise him, not to thank him. But what he wants is to be involved in our lives. He wants to know what we need. The middle section of the Shmoneh Esrei, we shouldn't feel bad about. We shouldn't feel like we're bothering him. That's what he wants. He wants us to turn to him with everything that we need. Let's take a look then at the structure of the Shmoneh Esrei. Okay? I divided it here into three. There are the introductory blessings. There's the requests. And then there's the closing blessings and thoughts. Now, I know that I just told you that the end section is about thank you. But if you think about it, really only the bracha of modim is about thank you. Right? You may never have thought about that. You've heard a million times that the last three brachos of the Shmoneh Esrei are thanking God, and we're not allowed to make requests in the last three brachos. It's just thanking Hashem. Except that it's just not true. In Ritzei, we ask Hashem for restoration of the temple service. In Sim Shalom, bracha number 18, we ask him for peace. So, again, whetting your appetite. Someday a sefer will come out on all this stuff. We're getting there. A lot of time with Corona to write. So, introductory blessings, closing blessings and thoughts. Let's leave those for tonight's shiur. Happy to come back a different time and speak about the structure of those first two sections. Thank you, Rabbi Bernstein. Okay, good. Requests. Wow, that's a lot of requests. 12 requests. Now, I know you'll tell me it's really 13 requests, but we're going to do this pre-Vilam al-Shinim. And if you look historically, it's not exactly clear how many brachos at any given. We're going to go with the following assumption, that there are 12 middle brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, right, before you got Lam al-Shinim added. Numbers 4 through 15. It's a lot of things. And one of the things that I would suggest, as you're saying the Shmoneh Esrei, is to ask yourself, is this what I would ask for? Would I ask for it in this order? And if the answer is no, which I find almost every time I say the Shmoneh Esrei, I say the answer is no. Now, I'm talking about when we're paying attention. Let's be honest. Half the time, we don't know where we are. But assuming we're holding in Shmoneh Esrei and we're actually paying attention to the brachos, one of the things we could do is ask ourselves, is this the list? If I had open mic time with God and he said, give me 12 wishes, 12 wishes, whatever you want, what's the likelihood that I would come up with these things in this amount, in this order? And inevitably, when I wouldn't have said this, I ask myself the following question. Who is right? Penner or the Anshei Knesset HaGadol? And The obvious answer is the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And then I say, what's wrong with me? We bring in a car. Many of you may not own cars yet. Every once in a while, if you're a responsible car owner, which I'm not, you get your car realigned. It turns out that if you drive long enough, the wheels aren't exactly straight. If you live long enough, and long enough here means about 10 minutes since the last Shmoneh Esrei, your priorities go off the rails. The purpose of saying, why do we have to say, so many people say, why do we have to say the same thing again and again and again and again? My God, we say the same thing every day. Maybe it's trying to tell us what we should care about. What should we want? It's not what I want, but what should I want? Rav Zinger, if any of you have seen his new Sefer, Tikkun Tefilati, Rav Zinger in his new Sefer quotes a piece, I believe, from Rabbi Nachman, where he points out that we are not what we eat, we are what we desire. Life circumstances mean I have, I don't have. I do that.
Right, Penner?
Yes.
I don't know if it's just me. Are people having a hard time hearing you, Penner?
Okay, am I back now?
Yeah, you're good now. It was just okay. A moment.
Do me a favor. Just give me this, because it's like there are these 30-second moments.
Yeah, last 10 seconds that we missed.
Okay, so the middle brachos are telling us what we should want. We may not want them, but that's why we have to say the Shmoneh Esrei so many times. That's why we have to keep saying the same thing, morning, afternoon, and night. You intuitively understand that about the Shema. You probably never asked, why do we have to say the Shema so many times? Because the Shema is reminding me of what I'm supposed to believe. The Shmoneh Esrei is reminding me what I'm supposed to want, what should be important to me. Okay. Let's unmute, because I want to hear a little bit of feedback. I want you to take a couple of minutes now, and I want you to look at this long list of requests, because we're going to try to make something of it. We're going to try to better understand it. I want you to look at the list, go through the list, think about the themes, and tell me what it is that you see. Are there groups of themes? Are we asking for 12 different things? Are we asking for sections? Are there pieces to it? What is the structure of these middle brachot of Shmoneh Esrei? Take a minute, because you got to really look at it. It's 12 different topics, and we say it every day, but we don't think about it this way. And let me know what you think. Any thoughts?
4 through 6 seem like they group together, and 12 to 14 also group together.
Okay, so 4 to 6 sound like they go together. It's a funny thing to start off Shmoneh Esrei with. To be honest, usually not the top three on my list. I'm much more interested in, 8 and 9, maybe a little bit of 13 and 14. But it is interesting. We start with three things. What's the common denominator from 4 to 6?
Personal reflection.
Good. Personal reflection, personal growth, right? Requests for spirituality, maybe, right? 12, what does 12 to 15 have to do with each other?
They're all beyond ourselves and more about the Jewish people.
Okay, they're more about the Jewish people. Well, the question is, why then pick just 12 to 15? Where does that, where do we start talking about the Jewish people?
10.
What? At 10. Very good. Whoever said that. Okay. At 10. 10, we start talking about the Jewish people. So I don't know if you ever noticed that. And we're not just talking about the Jewish people. What would you say the common denominator is for all of these things of 10 to at least 14?
Olam Haba.
Olam Haba, or what would we normally call it? Some people say that's Olam Haba. What would we call it? Yemos
HaMashiach.
Right? Maybe that's what Olam Haba means. Yemos HaMashiach. Right? Starting from number 10, gathering of the exiles, kibbutz Golias, restoration of justice, reward for the righteous, that the world should go, it should be, things should be, it shouldn't be any more tzadik v'ralo, the world should function right, rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the reestablishment of the monarchy, right, of the Mashiach. We'll have to figure out what to do with 15. It looks like from 10 and on, we're talking about the process of redemption. Okay? I don't know if you ever thought about that. First of all, it's interesting because it's very clear that redemption is supposed to be a process. For those who are saying that redemption will come out of nowhere, that just one day the Jewish people will be going from the depths of exile to Mashiach, it's interesting because it looks like there's a process. First, the Jews return to Israel. Then they set up a society. Then they respect the Torah. Then they rebuild Jerusalem, truly rebuild Jerusalem. Then they bring in the Mashiach, right? Interesting. Okay. Another interesting thing is that we spend so many of our brachos, we waste or we spend so many of our brachos on the national redemption of the Jewish people on a typical Tuesday or Wednesday. Right? I don't know about you. I would not have spent half of my brachos on the national redemption of the Jewish people. If you gave me, God, 12 things, I would do one bracha at the end. You should do this. This person is sick. Could you help me out in my business? Could you do this? I have a friend, they need a shidduch. I have all these different things. And by the way, if you brought Mashiach, that would be nice. That's exactly how I would do it. I would put it in there. I would feel embarrassed to have a whole litany of requests for God and just not mention Mashiach at all. But that's not the way we're supposed to think. The national redemption of the Jewish people takes up half the Shmoneh Esrei every single day for 2,000 years. Are we sufficiently focused on the need for national redemption, if we wouldn't have spent half of our Shmoneh Esrei talking about it? That's interesting. So then what would we call the first six brachos? If the last six or so are about the unfolding of our national destiny, what is the first six about? I would assume that if the last six form a unit, that the first six should probably form a unit.
Personal or present?
Good. Personal, present. Excellent. It looks like the first six brachos are personal requests, and the last six are national requests. So says Rabbeinu Bachya. So says one of the earliest tefillah svarim ever written, the Sefer Avudraham by Rab David Avudraham. It looks like the rabbis structured. They didn't just say, okay, we're going to be, you know, I kind of imagine Yachik Nesek Gadol. You ever been to one of those conferences where you're given like a post-it note and there are like these big boards on the, around the room and you have to put up your post-it note with everything like that? That's like, I always imagine that's probably how it happened, right? They said, okay, everybody, let's think of what we should daven for. And they put post-it notes all over the room, the Nevi'im and the Chachamim and everything like that. No. It turns out that the 12 brachos that they gave us are very, very, very structured. It's meant to represent a certain pattern, certain themes, not just 12 random topics. The first six are personal. The second six are national. I'll ask you, if the first six are personal, why are they said in the plural? Rifa'enu. Chaneinu me'itcha de'a bina v'haskel. I, they're in plural.
Because even if things are personal, we're supposed to want that for the whole Jewish people. Because we're
really— Very good. Because it's not that I want the Jewish people to be healed. I want every Jew individually to be healed. It's an individual need. I hope you're healed. You hope I'm healed. That's not the same as the national destiny of the Jewish people. The first six are the individual needs of every Jew. The last six are the national needs of this group called Klal Yisrael. Very interesting. Now let's break it down a little further, because someone, I forgot who started, maybe Michelle, somebody, whoever started, said that the first three looked like they formed a unit. The first three are about spiritual needs. What about the next three? What are those? By the way, Goel Yisrael is not about redemption. When we say Baruch HaTashem, Goel Yisrael, and then we start from this way, that's redemption. When we say the bracha Goalenu, it's that he should redeem us from the stuff that gets us all the time, anti-Semitism, problems we have. It's not the ultimate redemption. The proof is it's in the wrong half of the Shmoneh Esrei, right? So number seven is about getting us out of problems, freedom of the individual, health, prosperity. What would you call those kinds of things?
Physical needs.
More physical or material needs. So it turns out that the first three brachos are about individual spiritual needs, and the next three brachos are about individual material needs. Now, the next six are much more difficult to parse, but you would certainly expect that if you found this pattern in the first six brachos, that the first six brachos break down into groups of three, that the last six will do the same. And that's exactly what happens. The gathering of the exiles, justice and reward for the righteous, is about the physical needs of the nation. That the nation should have prosperity, that the nation, good things should happen to the Jewish people, that there should be a justice system, that people should come to Eretz Yisrael. It's not about lifting their spirits, it's about the fact that they should live in a good world. The last three deal with spiritual needs of the nation. The rebuilding of the temple, the establishment of a Mashiach. Don't forget, Mashiach, the Rambam says, is the greatest Navi perhaps that ever lived, or certainly one step behind Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a teacher king. He's not a warrior king. And the acceptance of prayers, we'll have to figure out exactly how that. What I'm suggesting, and you may never have thought about this, by the way, important thing, there is no traffic ever now. But in back when the world comes back and there's traffic, so I'm a person, I really don't like to waste time. I always make sure to have something to do with me. Once in a while, I get stuck. In my glove compartment, I have a small sitter. Looking at the sitter could be really interesting. It could be learning Torah. Did you ever think about why things are such a way? Why are there these brachos in Shmoneh Esrei? It turns out that the 12 middle brachos of Shmoneh Esrei aren't 12 brachos, but they're four groups of three. Why is that a good way of looking at the middle section? Why would we want to see the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei as groups of three?
Because the first and last part of the semester are three.
That's correct. Because we already know that we want to have three of everything. We know that from the first and the last. We're already accustomed to the fact that they're going to be groups of three brachos. Maybe the reason why there are 12 brachos in the middle is because it's four groups of three. And maybe, where would we get such a concept in our minds that brachos should be grouped in threes? It's only one bracha in the Torah.
Berakah Matzah?
Yes, that too. Sorry.
Berachas Torah.
Berachas Kohanim. The only example that we have in the Torah of brachos listed out is Berachas Kohanim, which is given in a group of three. Rav Shachter always likes to point out that Chazal looked to the Torah to establish everything they created. Right? They were misakein ke'ein de'oraisa, like what they saw in the Torah. So what if the Shmona Esrei wasn't a list of 18 brachot, but was groups of threes? What if the middle requests was divided between that which is personal and that which is national? And within those brachos, it was divided between that which is spiritual and that which is material. Now, it is interesting to notice that the order goes from the personal spiritual to the personal material. And then the national material to the national spiritual. A-B, B-A. What? Let's talk about the first part. Why do you think that in our individual requests, we start with the spiritual and then we move to the material?
If we have the proper spiritual mindsets, then we'll be able to utilize the material.
To push us into the right place. Naturally, we want the material more. But it's to push us into that place. When you're dealing with an individual person, we have to push them to ask for the spiritual first and then the national. And then the material. But when it comes to the nation, it's usually the other way around. The building blocks of a society need to be there first. When it comes to the nation, we're not as worried about the nation being off course. And once those building blocks are there, we can add the spiritual components. It is fascinating, and it's fascinating to anyone who's a religious Zionist to look at the chapter of the dry bones in Yechezkel, where the bones come back to life in two distinct stages, two distinct words of God, one which brings the bodies together, but they remain without a soul, and only then the soul is added. Look at the Perek. It's very, very powerful to read as a religious Zionist to say, could there be value in bringing back the body even if the soul is not there 100%? So you with me? So that's kind of cool. I think it's cool. It's very interesting. Even if you don't agree with me, and you don't have to, and you're muted, so, you know, whatever. Even if you don't agree with me, I hope that you agree that there's something here, right? There's much more structure than we first believed. It's not just a random group of brachos. There's something very particular going on here. Okay. Ready, ladies? You're holding on to your chairs? Here we go. We quoted at the beginning of this year the idea that Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina Amar Tfilos Avos Tiknu, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Tfilos Keneged Temidin Tiknu, not Keneged Korbanos, Keneged a particular Korban, the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid in particular. What kind of Korban? Chatas, Shlamim, Asham. What kind of Korban was the Korban Tamid that Tfilah replaced? and Ola. Ola goes all up to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's burnt completely. How do you bring an Ola? You probably never wondered about that. Maybe if you had a good Mora in like fifth grade or sixth grade, maybe you did this, but maybe not. The Mishnah says as follows. Ha'ola, Kodshei Kodashim. The Ola is the holy, is the holiest of in the group of the holiest korbanos. Shchitatan, source number four, Bitzafon. It's shechted in the north. You have a picture of the Beis HaMikdash here with a directional arrow. Okay? Can you see my little hand that I'm waving around to you? Oh, good. Great. Terrific. Okay? This is, first of all, the Mizbeach was really big. I used to think that the Mizbeach was the size of like the Shulchan and Shul that you lean from. That's the way it is in the stories with Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. The Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash was 20 feet high. It was huge. It was 10 amos high. You had to go up this ramp in order to get to the top. Okay? You could be on the floor. You could, all around here. North. You would shecht it over here. Shchitatzon b'tzafon. Okay? To the north of the Mizbeach. This piece here, the darkened piece here is the Mizbeach, and that's the ramp. V'kibul dama b'kli sharet b'tzafon. The next thing you would do is you would collect the blood. Sorry if this is not for the vegetarians in the group. You'd collect the blood in a kli sharet, in a holy vessel. Okay? Then you would walk the blood over to the Mizbeach and you would pour the blood from the vessel. Okay, those are the four steps. It's interesting that the burning of the korban is not actually one of the important steps of bringing a korban. We usually think of korban, I'm putting it on fire. No. The four important parts of a korban is to shecht it, to collect the blood, to walk the blood over to the Mizbeach, and then to sprinkle the blood, either sometimes with my finger, or in this case with the kli sharet, to sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. Now, let me ask you a question. Which of these pieces is the key to the korban? Let's say I always wanted to be a kohen. Always. I'm not a kohen, turns out. But I love the avoda. I want to be a kohen. So one day they say we're going to break the rules and Penner gets to go and be a korban for the day. He gets to bring the korban tumen. So I'm very excited. I say to my wife, Adina, could you please take a picture of me bringing the korban? And she says, yes. But as I get up there, she's like, my phone is full. I have no memory. I can't take a picture of you. So I say, start deleting pictures. And then she's like, which pictures? Pictures of the grandchildren. Who am I? How can I delete all these pictures? What am I going to do? I have videos of the kids. What am I going to do? So she finally deletes one picture. So now she's got room on her camera for one picture. When is she going to snap that picture? I have my day in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to bring the korban tumen. When am I going to bring it? When is she going to take that one shot? When I'm doing what?
Actually bringing it?
The answer is when I sprinkle the blood. I know it doesn't speak so much to our Western minds, but the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach is the moment that the korban becomes a korban. That's what it's really about. It's not shechting. So the moment is the sprinkling of the blood. That's when the korban happens. How do I sprinkle the blood? By a korban tamid. What do I do? How do I do it? The Mishnah says something very strange. V'dama ta'un shtei matanot Shehein Arba. The blood has to be sprinkled two times, but it's supposed to be on all four sides of the Mizbeach. There are different korbanot. Some korbanos require just one sprinkling of the blood. Others require sprinkling on all four sides of the Mizbeach. when it comes to this particular korban, for some very strange reason, I'm only allowed two sprinkles. But those two sprinkles have to hit the four sides of the Mizbeach. How am I going to do that? The picture probably gives it away. But how am I going to accomplish that? The corners. I sprinkle it. I am the Kohen. I go around. I'm on the floor. And I sprinkle it on this corner here. And then I sprinkle it on this corner here. Interestingly, the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach in the Korban Tamid consists of four pieces that are really two. Two sprinklings, but they have to hit four different sides of the Mizbeach. Why? This is crazy. What does that mean? Why does it have to hit four sides of the Mizbeach? The answer, I believe, is in this next slide. Here's the ramp. These are the two corners that you're sprinkling on. What is the idea? Now, inside here, you see the names of the Shvatim. That's for if we had more time to talk about that. It's interesting, by the way, that there's 12 brachos in Shmon Esrei. How many? And then, but it's not really 12. There's like 13, right? How many Shvatim are there? 12, but kind of 13. How many months are there? 12, but kind of 13 in a leap year. That's not a coincidence either. Our rabbis tell us, based on Kabbalistic sources and others, you can find this in the Siddur of the Shalah HaKadosh, that the different sides of the Mizbeach represent different ideas. The four different directions, south, west, north, east, represent different things and different ideas. Now, if you're standing at the Beis HaMikdash, okay, so if you're standing at the Beis HaMikdash, you would be here. This is where we would stand, the Ezrat Nashim. Both men and women stood in the Ezrat Nashim. Okay, this is where we would stand. Let's go back. Okay, we'd be over here. The Mizbeach is here. What do you think, right? Now you're here. East, west, north, south. Okay? What do you think the west would represent? What's west of the Mizbeach? What's west of the Mizbeach? As you go west, it gets holier and holier into the holy, the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The west represents the Shekhinah. What's to the east of the Mizbeach? Us, the masses of the Jewish people. Over here, you have the spirit, the physical makeup, the material makeup of the Jewish people. Here, to the west, you have the spiritual goal of the Jewish people to get as a people connected to Hashem and Yerushalayim. See these little guys in here? What are the three things that were in the Heichal? What are the three kelim that were inside the Heichal? You had, most importantly, you had the menorah over here, and the showbreads, the shulchan over here. The showbreads were in the north. The menorah was in the south. What do you think light represents in our tradition?
The spiritual.
The spiritual and the wisdom, right, of the individual. What was on the shulchan in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash. Bread, sustenance. So if you look at the four sides of the Mizbeach, you see that they represent the personal spiritual, the personal material, the national material, and the national spiritual. What happened when the Kohen, you were the Kohen, and you went up and you sprinkled the blood? Why did you need to hit all four sides? Because the four sides represented the four basic themes of things that you were praying for. The sprinkling of the blood was a physical manifestation of a prayer, says Rav Hirsch. When I sprinkled on the four sides of the Mizbeach, I hit these four themes. And like my Shmona Esrei, they're done in two sections that accomplish four different things. Now, I'm not going to pull the wool over your eyes. In the Shmona Esrei, the personal spiritual and the personal material are connected, and the national spiritual and the national material are connected. On the Mizbeach, it's a longer discussion, perhaps why the personal and national are connected, not the spiritual and the physical. Okay, do you see this? National material blessings, personal material blessings. Personal spiritual, national spiritual. In the Shmona Esrei that every one of us says, the goal is to connect the spiritual and the material. It's put in the same six. There should be a balance in our lives between the spiritual and the material. An individual person who's praying needs to find that balance between the spiritual and the material. That's what Shmona Esrei is supposed to guide us towards, the connection between the spiritual and the material. The Beis HaMikdash, where the Jewish people came together, wasn't so much about creating the balance between the spiritual and the material as the balance between myself and where I fit in the nation, the personal and the national. That's a parenthesis. If I went a little too fast on that, I apologize, but I don't want you to print out the source sheet and say, wait a minute, didn't you realize? I did. But you have exactly the same structure, which means that the Shmona Esrei really looks like this: introductory blessings and then requests, spiritual blessings, material blessings, physical blessings for the nation, and spiritual blessings for the nation. You're literally bringing the Korban Tamid in the Beis HaMikdash. When Chazal said that the tefillah was established in the manner of the Korban Tamid, it doesn't mean that generally, yeah, we used to do it. No. Just as the Korban Tamid was an exercise in hitting these four themes, physical blessings for the nation, spiritual blessings for the nation, spiritual blessings for the individual, material blessings for the individual. That's exactly what we do every single time we daven the Shmona Esrei. We are bringing the Korban Tamid in words, replacing what was once done by the deed of sprinkling the blood. And just as the experience in the Beis HaMikdash was reminding us not only of the importance of all four things, but about the relative importance and the juxtaposition of these different aspects of our life, so too the Shmona Esrei is there to remind us that these four things are what we should be praying for and we should want, and to remind us how to juxtapose those different pieces. One more step Because now you see acceptance of prayers got a question mark. Because this whole structure works, but this doesn't really work. Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu, accept our prayers? What does accept our prayers have to do with the spiritual bliss? Yeah, I guess it's, the nation needs prayers, the individual needs. This entire series of things talks about the national redemption of the Jewish people. If what I've said is correct, that there are groups of six and then groups of three, then Shema Koleinu doesn't really fit in. Shema Koleinu is like that catch-all bracha at the end, but I don't have room for a catch-all bracha at the end. I need you to fill out my three spiritual blessings for the nation. So I stopped giving this shiur for about 10 years because I couldn't figure that out. I just dumped the whole thing. Kashem shekibalti schar ala drisha, right? I should get schar ala prisha. I dropped the whole thing until I realized the following thought. What's missing in all of our requests about national redemption? In the second
half. Sorry, I think Rabbi Benner, I think it happened again.
Okay.
You're good. You're good now.
In the last, in this whole process of national redemption, we get back to Israel, society is done, we rebuild Yerushalayim, there's a Melech HaMashiach. What don't we ask for explicitly in the Shemoneh Esrei? And it's astonishing that we don't. It's so funny. We're so used to the Shemoneh Esrei, we don't even realize that we never mention this in the Shemoneh Esrei. We never mention the Beis HaMikdash. We say, V'tishkon b'tocha, God's holy presence should reside in Jerusalem. We never mention the Beis HaMikdash. Isn't that strange? How could we never say the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaBechira, Mikdash, Makom, Asher, nothing? I always assumed, I guess it was lumped in with the rebuilding of Jerusalem, except that the Rambam says that the Mashiach is supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash. He's supposed to come first. So take a look very quickly at this last source. The Gemara in Megillah tries to figure out what the progression of the brachos are in Shemoneh Esrei. Why does one bracha follow another? Right? Kevan shenitkab sugolios naseh din b'rishayim. That's the lama shinim. Then when there's din for the rishayim, they'll go away. And then when the bad guys are gone, the good guys will get raised up. And where will that happen? In Yerushalayim. And then once Yerushalayim is built, then David is going to come. Watch what the Gemara does. V'kevan sheba David, estemach David, right? That's the second to last bracha. Kevan sheba David, basa tfila. Okay, a little bit of a stretch. A little creative, Gemara Megillah, but okay. After David HaMelech comes, then you get tfila, shomea tfila, right? Why? What does David HaMelech have to do with tfila? He wrote to Tehillim. He said the phrase, va'ani tfila. He's Mr. Tefillah. It's not what the Gemara says. V'kevan sheba David basa tefillah. Once David comes, tefillah comes. How do you know? What's the pasuk that they quote to show that tefillah comes? V'haviosim el har kodshi v'simachtim beveis tefillasi. Because after David, why does tefillah come? Because the house of tefillah is built by David and his descendants, by the Mashiach. The Gemara doesn't say that the Mashiach will bring in an era of tefillah. It says that the Mashiach will bring in the house of tefillah. We always think of the Beis HaMikdash as the place to bring karbanos. But the pasuk says, "Vahaviosim el har kodshi, v'simachtim beveis tefilasi." The Gemara tells us, "Befeirish in Megillah," that after David comes, the Beis Hamikdash comes. Shomea tefila is not just a catch-all bracha at the end to say, "I hope you've listened to everything that you've told me." Shomea tefila is to ask God for a time when our tefillos will go straight to Shemayim. The Beis Hamikdash was a portal. The Beis Hamikdash was a place that God, so to speak, heard us in a different way. The bracha of Shomea Tefillah is, in addition to being a catch-all, it is a bracha for the Beis Hamikdash. V'kevan sheba'as tefillah, ba'as avoda. Once tefillah comes, we could bring karbanos. What? The word tefillah is synonymous with the Beis Hamikdash. And then I was free to give the shiur again, because it actually makes sense. The last three brachos are not rebuilding of Jerusalem, reestablishment of the monarchy, and acceptance of prayers. The last three brachos is rebuilding of Jerusalem, reestablishment of the monarchy, and the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. And so I was very, very happy to see in the Sefer HaOras HaTfilah by Rav Uri Weissblum, where he goes through every tefillah and he shows that Shema Koleinu is really a bracha for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. And that makes our study complete. So just to review, what we thought were 12 or 13 random brachos, there's nothing random when you're dealing with Nevi'im, when you're dealing with the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. This is, I'm literally scratching the surface of the beauty of the Shemona Esrei. Scratching the surface. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says in the Nefesh HaChaim, we cannot imagine what is in this prayer, that it took 120 of the Gedolei Yisrael to write this thing, including Nevi'im and people with Ruach HaKodesh. We're scratching the surface of what's in this prayer that we say every day. And we're noticing that it's not 12 brachos. It's four groups of three. It's really six groups of three. Three introductory, three closing, and four groups in here. Spiritual blessings for the individual, material blessings, physical blessings for the nation, and spiritual blessings for the nation. And finally, how do you use this to make your Shemona Esrei more meaningful? There's two things I try to do. Number one, at least I try to know which triad I'm in. It's so hard to have kavana for every word. It's wonderful to have kavana for every bracha. At least I should know which group of three I'm holding in. Am I asking for the personal spiritual needs, the personal material needs, etc.? And also, if you've seen enough at the Temple Institute, or you've watched the 3D thing next to the Kotel, and now you have a picture in your mind of what the Beis Hamikdash is, you can imagine that I'm bringing a korban from wherever I am. I am literally the Kohen who is on this morning. When I'm called up to Daven Shmona Esrei, I'm literally the one who got chosen to do the avoda for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis Hamikdash. And just as that Kohen sprinkled the blood on four sides of the Mizbeach, I walk around the Mizbeach in my mind, and I imagine that through my tefillos, I'm reconstructing the Temple Avod. I'm sorry that I don't have time for more questions. I'm sorry if I opened up more questions than I answered. But one thing to take from the shiur, the Siddur is the most brilliant Sefer that you have in your home, in your room, in your library. The Siddur never gets any respect. In a good Rabban Ishel library, I'm sitting in a Baruch Hashem, a good Rabban Ishel library, the Siddurim, you know that, is that this section and that section, then the Siddur like sits on the top of the thing. The Siddur was written at the time of the end of Nevi'im. It belongs on our shelves next to the Navi. That's what it is. It talks to us. We think we use the Siddur to talk to Hashem. Let the sitter talk to you. Its secrets are very, very profound. Have a good night, a good Tzom Kal tomorrow. And Mitzvah Hashem, we shouldn't have to imagine much longer. We should see what it means that the Kohen is going around and sprinkling on Mizbech and Yerushalayim.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Penner. Thank you. Hopefully this will inspire our tefillos as we head into the 3 weeks. I'm just going to, a couple of people asked me, I think that they missed the initial sharing of the Mekoros. So I'm going to post it now in the group, the drive, if you'd like to download the Mekoros for yourselves. But again, Rabbi Penner, thank you so much for coming. And we may very well take you up on your initial offer to come back. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Penner.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.